So I thought I had gotten out of this. I was actually doing this 5 months ago, and I got sick. And then this Wednesday, Verse E came up to me and asked me to do it. I really had thought I got out of it, but I did. So the thoughts of the Lord laid on my heart. Verse E had said something this morning in Sunday school, and I had another lesson that was kind of similar to a word that he said. And it had really gotten to me, and I was really like, wow, I really started doubting the lesson that I had. And then we had this morning's service, which was really encouraging and really showed me that this was the lesson that I needed to bring. Today we're going to be talking about investing. Now, what is investing? The Merriam-Webster says to commit money in order to earn a financial return, to make sure of for future benefits or advances. Now, investments can be in many things. People like to invest in money, cars, apartments, houses, jobs, stocks. There's many other things that people can invest in. So most of these investments aren't necessarily sinful, but they can become sinful, taking too much time from our walk with God if we let them. My notes are everywhere, so excuse me if I take a second to look at them. So I was going to write on the board, but I'm not going to. But I'm going to ask a question. If you have an investment, and whatever it may be, if it was just, say, shares for Ford and shares for Tesla, and there was a 15% investment, if you sold it for Tesla, but a 17% decrease if you sold Ford, which one would you take? Tesla, exactly, right. If you had a stock that, well, this is one that's not even going to happen in reality. If you had one that was plus 3.141, repeating, and then you had one that was 17%, which stock would you take? Said over here, he said he'd take the pie one. Why, Connor?
Because I like pie.
Okay. Well, pie is a repeating number. So if you sold it, you would get double the profit. It'd keep repeating. Now, it wouldn't necessarily, that wouldn't happen because that's not something that happens in stocks. But I thought that was a good example of maybe two different kind of stocks that you would kind of invest in. Now, the world may invest in these things that will last on earth, that have no value to their eternal soul or home. So if we turn to Luke 12, verse 13 through 21, the Lord's help tonight, I hope I can get this out. And it says, starting in verse 13, it says, don't go to John. Starting in verse 13, it says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man came forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thou shalt be part of thee. And then, who shall these things be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. We see this man spoken in the parable that Jesus said, he had laid treasures for himself down here, not for his eternal soul. He was not watching for his eternal soul. He was thinking about his welfare down here, as he said, And I will say to my soul, as he built these bigger barns, and he tore them down and built bigger ones, and he had many goods and many fruits. And he said, I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And if we could turn to Luke 12, same chapter, then we go to verse 29 through 34, which I'm pretty sure is another parable. Yes. And seek not what ye shall eat. No, this is him teaching his disciples and who he was speaking to at the time. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful minded. For all these things do the nations of the fathers of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, nor the moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And we go back to the other parable where it says that man that Jesus was speaking of in the parable, his treasures was laid up for him down here, not for up there. He did not take any consideration into the fact that one of these days he was going to die and that the Lord was going to require his soul one of these days. And we need to continue to realize that this is not a good investment. Jesus would want us to invest in the things that he would have us to invest in. And that goes into my next point. As a Christian, we can also invest. It may not be money or cars, which isn't necessarily bad or sinful, but we can invest in the things of the Lord. Christians can invest in prayer, Bible study, reading, testimony, singing, and worship. And we're not only limited to those things. I can only cover three tonight with the Lord's help. But as Christians, we're not only limited to investing in those things. There are other things we can invest in with our walk with Christ. As Christians, we must invest. As Christians, when we invest, we need to not forget that we are God's people, not our own. When we invest, we need to think about how the investment will influence and grow our spiritual walk with the Lord any way that we can. Now I'm going to start with investing in prayer. And it says, as we look at investing in prayer, it is not an investment that includes money, but salvation. We know that the Lord hears only the prayers of the righteous. If we return to 1 Peter 3:12, and it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And if you would turn to John 9:17-33. In this scripture text, Jesus heals the blind man. And the blind man is talking to the people, which I'm pretty sure was the Pharisees. Let me check. Yes, it was Pharisees. And chapter John 9:17-33. They say unto the blind man again, what saith thou of him? This is after Jesus had healed the blind man, had told him what to do, how to become unblind. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he see now? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto them, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Right. Then he said they to them again, what did he to thee? He opened thine eyes. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again, will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is. and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And that goes into right into our prayer section. If we were not saved, God would not hear our prayers. Many of us, when we were sinners, thought if we sent up a little prayer, God, hey, protect us doing this or protect us doing that. It wasn't our prayers that were heard. It was the prayers of the saved ones who were praying for us that we could get through our day. And I want to thank the Lord for those prayers that were sent up on my behalf.
Right.
In order to start investing in these things to the Lord, the first thing to do is obtain salvation. If you turn to Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9 through 11. Then if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We do not invest because we have to. We invest because we want to. If we would turn to Romans 8, 4 and 5. Once we get saved, we automatically have a different desire. We no longer have a desire to serve the flesh. We have a desire to serve the Lord and the things that the Lord would have us to do. That is our new desire as a saved creature. They that are righteous of the law might be fulfilled in us, who work not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And I surely want to thank the Lord tonight for his salvation and his saving grace, that I can be able to pray and know that my prayers have went to the throne of God and that he has heard me.
Amen.
Just like in the world, in order to invest, you need something to invest in. Like I said before, those things that you are investing in, that the world invests in, like money, cars, apartments, houses, and jobs. We all know we need money to survive. We need cars to go places. We need a house in order to live. We need jobs in order to live. We don't necessarily need stocks, but that's your decision. But those things aren't necessarily sinful, but they can become sinful. As Christians, we are not only limited to investing in those things, are the things that we have for salvation. There are other things we can invest in with our walk with Christ. The world invests in things that will make them richer physically. A Christian should invest to become richer spiritually. One of the things Christians can invest in is prayer. When we as Christians pray, we obtain strength. Prayer is an important investment as a Christian. Without prayer, we cannot communicate with the Lord or gain the strength that we need daily. The Lord provides ROI. Who knows what that is? Return on investment. I heard it from a few people. That's return on investment. So, for those who know about investing, when you invest in something, and it can be a bad return on investment or it can be a good return on investment. If you did a stock and it so happened to go down at the time you were selling it, you would not have a very good return on investment. If you did one where it went up when you were selling it, you would have a very good return on investment. With the Lord, everything that you do to serve Him will have a good return on investment. This morning when service was going through, I was really doubting the lesson that I was going to bring tonight. And then as testimonies started coming up, I was just like, wow! This really is a lesson the Lord wanted me to bring.
Yes.
See how we can give praise to God. That's a return on investment when we start our salvation. Amen. When we walk with God, we get a return on investment. We get testimonies. And we're able to give God the glory and not in ourselves. And I surely want to step back and give the Lord the praise for that. Now, if we return to Philippians 4 and 6, I'm pretty sure this speaks about return on investments. Or is it still prayer? I think it's still prayer. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And in Ephesians 6 and 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all presence and supplication for all saints. And I want to read that scripture in the Amplified Version. Doesn't do anything except amplify it. Doesn't change anything. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, and in every season. In the Spirit, and with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. Who can spot a return on investment in this when we pray? We had a message about this a few weeks ago for the Mike Ball. The return on investment is liberty. When we are saved and we go to God in prayer, our return on investment is liberty to tell God what it is that we need, and liberty to speak with the Lord, and liberty to reach His throne. I surely want to thank the Lord for that. And if we would turn to John 15 and 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And if you turn to Matthew 21 and 22, it says, "And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, prayer gives us liberty as a return on investment, and it also gives us praise for God and testimonies when He answers those prayers. Right. Now, speaking on investing in Bible studying and reading. Now, those two are very different. Reading and studying are two very different things. As Christian, we cannot learn anything if we do not read God's Word. Now, definition of read is to become acquainted with or look over context of. And the second one is to make a study of. That is the Merriam-Webster Dictionary definition of that. And study is a close examination or analysis of a phenomenon, development, or question. If we read and indulge in God's Word, we will attain knowledge on how to live as a Christian and how to be like Christ. I have of paper, and I have no idea where it went. Here it is. If you turn to, I believe it's Acts 8, 26. And this is when God had told Philip to go to Jerusalem, I believe. And there was an Ethiopian man. And the Ethiopian man was inside of a tent, I believe it was. And God had told him, God had sent an angel to tell him to go to that tent. And there was a man there, and that man was reading the Bible. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And if we would turn to Acts 8 and 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is dead. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had came to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sat in his chariot," read Isaiah the prophet. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." And that goes back to, as a Christian, we cannot learn anything if we don't read God's Word. Now, this man was reading God's Word, but he had no understanding of what it meant. That's where studying comes in. Studying and being led by the Lord to have people to speak the Word of God to help us learn, which is why we need worship. If we return to James 1 and 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." If you also turn to 2 Timothy 3, 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Now we know that Bible reading and Bible study is two very different things. Studying the Bible is a very important part of Bible reading. As a Christian, reading is not the same as studying. In order to study, it means to take apart the scripture bit by bit, to read into the context of the scripture and how we can apply that scripture into our life. Reading necessarily isn't just picking up your Bible and taking a verse and reading it. That's not necessarily what that is. It can be, but to read is to take in, and not an understanding of, but to take in something that you have read for your understanding. Not necessarily the whole understanding of the scripture, but for your understanding. And it allows for more questions to come up so that you can study. If we read and indulge in God's word, we will obtain knowledge on how to live as a Christian and how to be like Christ. Well, the last thing I want to talk about is investing in worship. As a Christian, we need to invest in worship. Yes. Hebrews 10:25. If not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Worship is something that we need to take very seriously. If we can be inside the church, when we need to be there for worship, that's where we should be. We shouldn't be laxy-daisy in our house, even if we don't feel like it, or we're tired. It's very different if you're sick and you can't get out. But if you can get to worship, that's where you should be. Worship is a very important part in the Christian salvation. We will not have spiritual strength if we do not worship with our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, who can tell me the benefit, the return on investment on worship when we come to worship? The return on investment would be encouragement from the saints and the encouragement of the Word of God. We cannot be encouraged if we do not come to worship. Worship does not only happen in person, it also happens in our heart. Our heart can be able to praise the Lord without us actually showing that we are praising the Lord. And we can go to worship in person to also show that we are praising the Lord. It's not just a thing that we want to do. It's not just a thing that happens or a thing that people just do. It is worship because we know who it is that we serve. And I surely want to thank the Lord for that. That's all I have.
Amen.
Outstanding thoughts by Brother CJ. As he was speaking, I thought about all of the different things you can invest. You can invest money, of course, which he talked about, but you can invest your time, you can invest your talents, you can invest your skills, and so it's something to think about.